back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, won't you, friends? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten up your day. Let alone a gloomy side out there, Mae. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. It needs brightening. Oh, land it. I don't know. We have the funniest springs here that ever were. And thank you, Fred. It's always so good to see you again. How goes it with all you people? It's good to be alive on beautiful days. I guess it's good to be alive on one like this, too. But I do wish it would get a little warmer. Honestly, we had as much fire in the furnace yesterday afternoon and last night as we ever have in the winter. But I still remember the time before my husband died, just a little while, about 18 years ago, that we had fire in the fireplace all day the 4th of July. So I tell you, the Ozarks, you can't tell what they're going to do. Absolutely. I wonder if this is what they call black bear winter, but it couldn't be because they tell me that that comes when the vines are blooming. Well, it's some kind of a winter. Just Ozark weather, and you can't call it anything else, I guess. You know the saying in the Ozarks, they say, if you don't like the weather, wait a few minutes and it'll change. Well, that's just about the truth. First, I want to send my love to all the shut-ins and the lonely ones today. You know, there's always somebody lonely. It's too bad. And particularly, I want to send my love to the old folks. I love old folks. I loved them when I was a kid, and now I'm old folks myself, and I love them. Mrs. George Gregg of Charity, Missouri, says they have her foster mother in their home, and she has a birthday, May the 28th. That'll be next Tuesday, won't it? I think so. She'll be 88, and her name is Mrs. Elsie Atterbury. Mrs. Elsie Atterbury. Their address is Elkland, but they live near Charity. Miss Atterbury has been bedfast since March the 20th. She also lost her sight at that time. A card shower from her relatives and friends would cheer her up a bit, Miss Gregg says. I do wish several of you would send her a card or a line of some kind by March the 28th, her birthday, and God bless her. The address is Miss Elsie Atterbury, Elkland, Missouri, Route 2. It's a box 188, but I'm afraid you'd never remember all of that, so I think just Route 2 would get it. Miss Elsie Atterbury, Elkland, Missouri. Happy birthday, dear Miss Atterbury. And love to you and all your family, Mrs. Gregg. Speaking of addresses, I've wanted to say this to you. So many write me and say that I would have written to you before, May, but I didn't have your address. Well, my land. My dear friends, don't ever worry about that. You have no idea how easy I get your letters. I've had dozens and dozens of letters for years addressed to just May, Springfield, Missouri. They do it just for fun, and I get them. And all sorts of joking things, like they used to address me. They got a run here when I was on the paper for a long while for fun. To Granny McCord, Springfield, Missouri. And then they put that hillbilly gal, Springfield, Missouri. And I got them. You have no idea what all they wrote on those letters for fun. I've got a whole scrapbook of them. No street address or anything. Just put that freak and I'll get it. And I have the envelopes yet where folks would cut out a little picture of me from the paper, when I was on the paper, and stick that on the envelope with paste and just mail it here in the Ozarks with no address at all. Yes, and I'd get it. I've got them, I can show you. Now, my home address is 1111, now will you remember that, four ones, 1111, North Jefferson, Springfield. As to the radio, all you need to put on it is May, Radio KWTO Springfield. So don't worry about my address or name. And if you're going to write to me, just wail loose. I love to get it. Call me anything, but be sure and call me to dinner. And by the way, now as summer starts, I would love to go to some of the little church meetings you have all around. Uh-huh. I'm looking at Henry. He knows that the doctor doesn't want me to go much. The doctor's kind of laid out. For me, I have high blood pressure. But then he's given me something to run it down. It ought to run it down. They gave $9 for 30 tablets yesterday. It ought to run anything down. It's going to run me down. Oh, this medicine thing. I thought they was going to fix it up, but they didn't. Well, anyway, if anybody's ever going from here and could dump me in and take me, I've been to so many in the last few years, these dear little church meetings that they have around over the Ozarks. So if you want me to come, just get me there and back in some sort of a rigging and I'll come. I forgot to say that Mrs. Gregg asks me to send a hello greeting to some other, and my love, of course, I always send that to some other dear old folks in Elkland. Mr. and Ms. Robert Popejoy and Ms. Alma White. Ma White, they call her. She will be 89 on July the 1st. She's now at her granddaughter's, Mrs. Eugene Davis, home here in Springfield, because she's been ill lately. These folks are all from charity, she says, all I have mentioned. So God bless you all, dear friends, and don't forget the card shower Mrs. Grigg asks about, to Mrs. Elsie Atterbury, Elkland, Missouri, Route 2. Whenever you want me to say happy birthday or hello to any of your dear old folks, or to shut-ins, or anyone sick, or anyone lonely, just any dear listener, let me know. Sometimes just a hello helps things. You know it does. You know, birthdays are like milestones on life's little winding lane. They mark the years that give such gladness and such pain. Some people dance their way along, some faint at every bend, and every milestone brings us nearer to the journey's end. Don't count your birthdays in the fear that you're growing old. The best is yet to be, and sunset skies are fair and gold. Each mile should grow more lovely as the ending looms in sight. Each age brings its reward, its compensation and delight. You know, we so often talk about the very old customs and traditions, and one time I was talking about the old days, 75 or 100 years ago, and less, goody less, little boys wore just shirts with long tails. People don't seem to understand that. And no pants at all, just long, and they called them, or in the summer, they wore nothing under the shirt, just the shirt. And they were called shirt-tail boys. And you'd be surprised how many people wrote me that they themselves were shirt-tail boys when they were little. The late Babe Kerr, who lived to be almost 100. And then a man down at Aurora, I've forgotten his name, and a man at Bolivar. They all told me, and they wrote me a letter, and Babe called me up. He's a great friend. He used to say, May, I was a shirt-tail boy. And just a lot of them told me they were little, you know, little shirt-tail boys. And do you know, here's the thing. Often the little boys wore those long shirt tails. They dragged the ground nearly. Wore them up until 10 and 11 years old. If you don't believe this, just ask someone of those days. I was talking to my good friend Jim Irvin down at Dadeville. Boy, the fox hunter, Jim Irvin. And he said indeed they wore them. He didn't happen to wear them, I think. At least he didn't say he did. I bet he did, though. Jim's in the early 90s now. And he said they wore some sort of flannel underwear in the winter under them, but no underwear at all in the summer. Just the long shirt. You know, they had to dress that way because cloth was so scarce and money so hard to come by in those days. Every boy couldn't have a pair of pants. And sewing was so hard to do, sewing for the whole family, making the man's clothes, even his suits. You have no idea. And no machines at all. So it was a matter of necessity. One time I was in a party in St. Louis of several people, kind of a dinner party, lots of them of great wealth. And one man, a Mr. Wilson, who owned a huge factory there, a paper factory, he was a millionaire. He said, indeed, I was what was known as a shirt-tail boy, Ms. McCord. I was a good size younger down in good old Kentucky where I was born. And a lot of people don't realize that all the shoes were made right there at home in those old days, in those hard frontier days. My father told me about his, by a cobbler. They made the shoes. You couldn't buy anything. Well, when I was a young girl, you couldn't go up here to Springfield and buy a ready-made dress, believe that or not. You could come up here and get a very expensive dressmaker. And the shoes were made, handmade and hand-stitched. My, what a task that was. Pardon me. Well, next Thursday is Memorial Day, what we used always to call Decoration Day, and they do yet. I call it Decoration Day. When I was a child, I never heard of it as Memorial Day. And I know a lot of you didn't either. We gathered in the little graveyards to decorate the graves of those we loved, and we do yet. And we decorate the graves that are forgotten, too, so many of them. And while the South has a different day from the May 30th of the North, still it's the same Decoration Day. The Civil War caused, you know, caused the different days, just like it split up so many things, and we still will be another 100 years outliving the Civil War. And yet under the sod and the dew, waiting the judgment day, under the roses the blue, under the lilies the gray, all are one in the sight of the great Creator. One lies down near Appomattox many miles away, the other sleeps at Chickamauga, and they both wore suits of gray. Mid the strains of Down and Dixie, the other was laid away, but the blue, but in a trench at Santiago lies both the blue and the gray. Yes, and at Iwo Jima, and at the Marne, and Shota Woods, and Belleau Woods, and under the cold, pitiless rains of China, those darling boys sleep where they died together, fighting in one cause. God bless their dust. I shall go to Galena, to my own graves, as I always do. Edie's coming up there to meet me, Edie Baker, where all her loved ones sleep out in that graveyard, and her father, her brother, her grandmother, her mother, her uncles, I just couldn't tell you how many. Out on that sunbathed hill where they are sleeping, where the wind sings a perpetual requiem. And oh, I pray that these boys of ours may never know what war is again. Somewhere there's a small verse, a beautiful verse, by Margaret Lucas of Crane. She's such a gifted woman. I don't know where I laid it. Wish I could have laid my hands on it last night, but I couldn't. It was something, the last line was, "Oh Lord, please not war again." Margaret, if you're listening, send it to me. It had some lovely lines. But I found another poem, a prayer for mother. Of a mother, I mean, for her son, who was overseas in the last war. As thou didst walk the shores of Galilee, so loving Savior, walk with him for me. For since the years have passed and he is gone, I cannot follow, he must walk alone. Be thou his feet, for here my feet must stay. Be thou his comrade on his fearful way. When he was little, I could walk and guide, but now I pray that thou be at his side. And as thy blessed mother folded thee, so kind and loving Savior, guard my son for me. Thursday night, we heard Paul Harvey, one of the world's great writers and commentators. He gave two news broadcasts from this station, whom you all listened to. He spoke at the huge field house at Teachers College here. My, what an audience. There were over 5,000 there. And I sat away up high, near as to heavens I've ever been, way up high, and so in fact that I seemed to be pitching overhead first, and looked down at the speaker and heard the grand music and the choirs and the singing. It was very wonderful. He gave a great message. Time marches on, and I have to go. But I'll tell you, oh, I've got a little poem, but I ain't got time to, I'll read it, a very comforting thing. I'll read it to you the next time. I don't know why I always have so much to say that I can't get it all in. Goodbye, and I'll be seeing you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and I can catch my pony.